You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen?
We're going to whoop their
Have you gotten Romo yet?
What's up, y'all? Welcome on into the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker and Patrick Brown and Ben McKee coming to you from Neyland Stadium, where Tennessee has ended the losing streak against Florida. The 11th ranked Volunteers hold on, I think, is probably a good way to put it, to a 38-33 win over the 20th ranked Gators before a packed house, checkerboard end zones, checkerboard in the stands, lots and lots of excitement. Not a great start to the game, a pretty rancid ending to the game. But by and large, we're going to kick all that to the second segment, guys, because I think we got a lot to talk about. The fact that Tennessee has beaten Florida, it's been a long time coming, and there's no win over Florida that this program should not celebrate.
Yeah, Wes, this is new. I don't want to say new territory, but Tennessee just hasn't had a lot of this lately. This is only their second win against Florida since 2004. Their records against their other rivals, if the big three that you're judged on, and Josh Heupel has kind of openly admitted this, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee's lost a lot of games of those teams over the past several years. And so they needed to win one of these games. And Tennessee's going to be a top 10 team probably on Sunday when the rankings come out. So that's, again, got to go back to 2016, that Tennessee started 4-0, that they've been ranked this high, that they've beaten Florida. So there's a lot to nitpick. And I know some of you, your heart rate still might be a little high from the end there, which is understandable. Tennessee was going to let you just have a nice, easy 7 to 8 minute celebration of a win against Florida. They had to make it interesting there at the end. But just an outstanding day for this program with College Game Day being here. The scene was electric. The crowd was loud. The celebrations at the end were relief and joy. And it's everything that that you want in your football program. And Tennessee hasn't had a lot of that lately. So it should be a day for celebration, a night for celebration for fans and everyone with the program.
Yeah, I think it's easy because when the last thing you see, Ben, is the way that game ended those final couple minutes, what you're thinking most likely is, what the hell's going on here? You're probably thinking like your Apple Watch is telling you to breathe. I mean, things are not looking great. But let's take just a step back and think about what this weekend was for Tennessee. A lot of major media, national media, were in town. College Game Day in town. Other national outlets in town. You got 102,000 people in the stands. People showing up like on Tuesday, Wednesday to get ready for this game. A big, big chance for Tennessee. A Tennessee team that's had some chances in recent years to do things like this. And today was able to do it. And I don't think that should be lost on anyone is that they put on a hell of a show this weekend. And if a football program is the front porch for your university, if it's for, a lot of the pride around this area, you got one done. You beat Florida. And I think that you got to be better moving forward. But there's a lot to celebrate about this weekend, I think.
Today was a statement by Tennessee football, is what it is. I know this Florida football team isn't very good, but who cares? Tennessee beat Florida for the sixth time in my 27 years on this earth. So, and I know that there are many out there who have similar statistics, is why I kind of reference my age. But today was just absolutely huge for the football program, for East Tennessee, for Knoxville, and it started with game day and just the aerial shots that game day was able to produce of campus and Knoxville and Henley Street Bridge and the Tennessee River. And I know there were a lot of hoopla outside of Knoxville about, oh, they should have gone to Kansas and Duke. Okay, cool. You know why they came?
Noise.
You know why they came to Knoxville? Because of the crowd that it had. And the crowd that it had on Friday during College Football Live and the Pat McAfee show and all the little hits, the TV hits that it did. It was a great representation of what Knoxville is, of what Tennessee is. And it too often gets a bad rap because of whether or not Tennessee gets a win on the football field. And that's not really fair to Knoxville as a whole, the university as a whole. And I tell you what, you talk about big for the entire university. I see Tony Vitello down on the field celebrating with Mike Eckler as if he's an assistant coach on the staff. You don't think it's big for Tony Vitello? He had double-digit recruits on campus. Rick Barnes had double-digit recruits on campus, and same for softball and soccer and so on and so forth. It's huge for those programs as well. But, Wes, more importantly, it is a football game, so it is huge for the football team as well because it had a billion recruits, and not just recruits on campus, high-level recruits. Maybe not in this particular 2023 class, but several five stars in the 2024 class and prospects in the 2025 class that are going to be five stars as well. And to me, Wes, he's still going to have to prove some more down the road against better teams. But you had to beat Florida as they are currently constructed. You just had to. It's really as simple as that. And to me, it shows the progress of Josh Heupel. And to me, it's a sign of things to come.
Yeah, we just got done with the post-game press conference, I don't know, about half an hour or so ago. It's at times a difficult construct to follow on weekends like this. But I think it was about half an hour ago as we're talking now, recording this, that we heard that. And two things really kind of stood out to me in terms of just what this weekend meant and what this is all about. And one of them was Latrell Bumpus talking about, you know, there's been a lot of games like this that I've been here 6 years. There's been a lot of games that we've been one or two plays away from winning a game like this, and we got one today, and it feels really good. It kind of felt like at the office when Kevin's talking about, you know, the parking situation, he's like, you know, it just feels good to win one. I think it does feel good. And I think secondly was a question that I forget who asked Heupel after the game, but talked to him about how he thought his players handled what was a really unusual game day and unusual weekend in Knoxville here on campus. And Heupel stopped the reporter dead in his tracks, not in a rude way, but was like, hey, you know, this is Rocky Top, right? This is what it's supposed to be. It hadn't been like that all the time in the past few years, but this is Tennessee. Look around you. This is what this is supposed to be. And, you know, he's right. This is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and I thought something that Heupel did that was really good this week was starting out the week, says you're not going to be able to block out all the noise, all the hoopla around this game. You've set yourself up for this opportunity, this stage. Embrace it. And something he even told the team, he said after their walkthrough, I guess, at the hotel today before they came to campus, it was like, it's going to be amazing. Enjoy it. Soak it in. You know, sometimes these coaches are so robotic that they expect their players to be robotic too and just singular focus, all that stuff. Like, all the hay is in the barn at this point. You've done this. Like, you've gotten this program this quickly to a point where it has game day. It has this crowd. It has this atmosphere. It has this scene for the Vol Walk, which was players, Heupel said it surpasses expectations. Best one he's been a part of, all that. Enjoy it. And I thought that helps your team play loose. And Tennessee hasn't always played loose in this game. Now, they weren't perfect, but they
definitely weren't loose down the stretch. Maybe they're too loose. I don't know.
The other team makes plays too. I mean, that was a pretty good recovery on the outside kick when the kid's running and one hands it Deion Grant style. So, you know, stuff happens. But, you know, they came out, Florida had some, you know, there was some back and forth, some counter punches, and Tennessee just kind of, you know, stayed the course. They kept competing. They kept playing. Florida did too, to give them credit down the end. We'll get to that in a minute. But too many times Tennessee has gotten to this sort of precipice point and maybe face planted. And with Florida being the opponent this weekend, it was like perfectly set up for Tennessee to face plant. Now, they almost threw it away at the end. But they get the job done. They get the win. And now you get an extra week to enjoy it and sort of reset. And when you win these games and you're up in the rankings and you're undefeated, every game gets bigger and bigger from now on. So that's what these players and this staff have created for themselves. And something I wrote is just enjoy the ride. Enjoy it. Keep dreaming about what the rest of the season could look like. You've got a team that plays hard. You've got a great quarterback that's going to make you really look really good when maybe some other parts aren't good. So, this was a huge day for this program, and Tennessee took advantage of it.
Yeah, and as for the game itself, because, I mean, we could talk about the importance of the win, and we'll talk about it again on Monday since it's going to be a bye week. I mean, there's lots of time that we're going to have to go over all this. But as for the game itself, I would have to go back and think about it as, I guess, the resident hashtag old guy around here. But I don't know how many better quarterbacking performances in a single game I've seen from a Tennessee quarterback than what we saw from Hendon Hooker in this football game tonight. Now, what's interesting is, you know, there's like not many passes he doesn't hit all day. The one to Warren would have been a touchdown. He doesn't make that one. And you're like, oh, this is one of those Florida moments where they're going to regret this. No, no. Hendon Hooker goes out there, and as you can hear me crinkling the paper, here are the final numbers. So the important number is Tennessee 38, Florida 33. But here's some other numbers. Hendon Hooker, 22 of 28 passing, 349 yards, 2 touchdowns. Hendon Hooker running the football, 13 carries, 112 yards, and that's including sacks, and one more touchdown. And I don't know what more you could ask of a quarterback, especially without his main target in this game. Cedric Tillman did not play in this game. We kind of knew all week he wasn't going to play. That ankle's not in good shape. We'll see what it's like in the next couple weeks. But he was not going to be able to play in this game. And Hendon Hooker goes out there and delivers one of the biggest quarterback performances, frankly, that I've seen from a Tennessee player that I can remember ever.
A fun project this week will be to go back and kind of compare Hendon Hooker performances against the Gators all time. And, again, you do have to acknowledge that this wasn't a typical Florida defense. But, like you just said, Wes, he wasn't doing it with his full arsenal of weapons. I mean, Cedric Tillman's arguably the best receiver in the country. And credit the receivers for stepping up. Brew McCoy made some big catches. Ramel Keaton made the catch of the year so far, that diving catch right before the half. And Patrick made a good point on our post-game huddle. Encourage you to go check that out. But kind of those the middle eight, the last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half, that's the portion of the game that won Tennessee the game. And it started by Ramel Keaton's catch producing a 99-yard scoring drive to go up 10 into the half. And then you come back after half and make it a 17-point game, if my memory serves me. But the receiver stepped up, but you still were without Cedric Tillman. And Hooker was still 22 of 28. And over the course of my young lifetime, I don't remember a quarterback performance. And I'm sure Dobbs had equal performances if we went back and looked at the stats, especially in 2016 when he picked up the win. I bet the 15 heartbreaking loss when Juwan Jennings threw that pass to him on the trick play, if kind of just trying to go back and remember, it feels like he played well in that game as well. But two games out of 20 to 30 years isn't a ton. And there's some other quarterback performances in there as well. But most importantly, Hendon led Tennessee to a win. And we talked about it on the preview podcast. This was a game in which, yeah, he needed people to step up and help him. But it was also kind of a game where he was going to have to put the team on his back and the offense on his back. And he did that. And this truly is not a shot at Peyton Manning. But he did something today that Peyton couldn't do.
Yes, he did. And I'm trying to rack the brain here. I think the thing about Hooker is that there are two words that – you have to be either one or the other to be a great quarterback. You've either got to be efficient or you've got to be explosive. There's no two ways about it. If you want to be a good football quarterback, you want to help your team win games, you got to be either efficient or explosive. To be both at the same time, I mean, that was some Lamar-like stuff that he was doing out there today. Just when you see a guy take over, like Michael Vick used to do, just take over a football game and say, "Get on my back, guys. Let's go." That 44-yard run down into the red zone was one of the most unbelievable plays that quarterback's made.
Josh Dobbs would have been proud watching that from the sideline because it looked like he was dead to rights. And that's something that is such a difference maker in today's college football, is not necessarily a quarterback, but guys that, you know, you scheme up something as a coach, as a pressure, you get a free runner, you get a guy there to make the play, and the other guy just makes a play. That's what Hooker did on that play. He did that so many times today. I mean, Tennessee's offense, what do they end up with? Almost 600 yards of offense?
Yeah, both teams did, actually. I think Tennessee, let's see if I can get this right. Tennessee, total offense. Come on, old eyes, come through for me. 576 for Tennessee, 594 for Florida.
I think Tennessee was over 8 yards a play. Florida ran almost 20 more plays in this game than Tennessee. So, Tennessee, the only time Tennessee was stopped on offense is when they put the ball on the ground or missed a throw. There was that fourth down that they couldn't get to ice the game there at the end, which actually almost turned out to be a pretty big play. But, I mean, with this guy at the controls, he just makes everything go. And even without Tillman, you know, something he said in the post game that really stood out to me is that, and we've always heard him say, "I trust all my guys. I know my guys will make plays for me." You expect him to say that. But even today, talking about the the play that Keaton made. He's like, I came back from dinner the other night, and some of those guys are in there working. And that's how he knows he has confidence. And they work because they see him work like that. He's such an influencer of his teammates on the field, during games, during the off season, when he's the one guy in there that's in there all the time. And he's the perfect guy to be leading your program, perfect guy to be leading this offense. And with him there, I mean, if you're Tennessee, you're going to every game thinking, I got a shot because I got five. And that's what he did today. Special performance. Josh Heupel called it elite multiple times in post game. And it deserved to be, it deserved to win. Ben, you brought up that 2015 game. That was a great game by Dobbs individually. I remember thinking when that happened, when they blew that game, how unfortunate it was that that got spoiled for him. It was good that Tennessee didn't spoil this one for Hooker because he was amazing. And he would have, there would have been a lot of eyes on this game because him and Richardson, Richardson's a great quarterback too. Let's give him some credit.
Finally looked like one today for sure.
Right. And you know, this, you know, Florida may have some question marks. He's really good though. So, and Hooker was just a little bit better. And Hooker was amazing, and that's, you know, that's why Tennessee was able to win this game today.
Yeah, when you talk about, you know, judging Hooker, one of the things that we just hadn't seen really, or at least in one of Tennessee's big rivalry games, go out there, put the team on your back, and in a close game like that, you know, go help your team win the game. And he checked that one off the list. He's done that now. And so he's such a cool, calm, kind of collected guy. It's just – it's impressive to watch him work, and he is exactly what you want your quarterback, your leader to be. But before we go to break, I do want to mention also another guy who I think it might get lost in the shuffle because Hendon Hooker also played a majority of that football game, 2.5 quarters with a shoulder.
This is Jabari Small because he's a tough kid.
Yep, that's where I'm going with this because Hendon Hooker had that. He went into the 10 a couple times. Hendon Hooker had his throwing shoulder was bothering him. He was not comfortable at all in the final 2.5 quarters of that game. He looked fine, but he was hurting. The other guy is Jabari Small, who has dealt with shoulder injuries. We know that. We know that's an unfortunate part of the way things go for him. Last week, he goes through that second play of the game, gets hurt. He goes into the first practice this week not knowing whether he's going to be able to play this week. He's going to take a couple of hits and say, okay, is my shoulder going to stay in place or not? How's this going to go? And after the first day of practice, he goes, do not hold me back. Coach Heupel, I have to play in this game. I have to play in this game. And he goes out there, and the sucker nearly got 100 yards. He got, let's see, what did he end up with? 19 carries, 90 yards, and a touchdown against a defense that, you know, the offensive line wasn't blocking great sometimes in those running plays, but he got it done. Ventrell Miller was out there for most of that football game for Florida, helping their defense get a lot better. He got the job done. And when Tennessee absolutely needed it because the running back situation, by God, he did it.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about Keaton too. Brew McCoy had a couple big plays.
Yes, he did.
And Princeton Fant was the target of the ire early on for the fumble. I think he had a false start that may or may not have been his fault. But he came up with some other big plays. I know he had the run. He had a key block on one touchdown run. He came up with another block on Hooker's long scramble. He had another catch that got them down to the one. So I mean, when you win a game like this, you need a star, but you also need a lot of the complementary pieces to step up too. And Tennessee got that. Whether it was a tough, you know, toughness guy like Jabari Small, whether it's a guy taking advantage of his opportunity like Ramel Keaton, whether it's guys like Brew McCoy and Jalen Hyatt who didn't have huge games but made big plays at key moments for this offense. To you know, when you score 38 points on a team and you probably should have scored 50, and you have almost 600 yards of offense, Hooker's great, but he got a lot of help today. And again, he's the guy that makes it all go. But there was a lot of help on his side of the football, and obviously the system that he's in is pretty good too.
And while we're driving the Memphis hype train, I also want to mention Omari Thomas, who had
Sticking to the offense.
He had an enormous couple of plays in that football game, and he continues to get better every single week. And why do I say that now? Because there's a lot of things we're going to say about Tennessee's defense in the second segment that are not going to be so great. But I did want to mention Omari Thomas coming up big time and time again. He is turning into a hell of a football player. And this was a hell of a weekend, a hell of a night for Tennessee. Lots and lots of good stuff. However, if the goal is to go be a better football team and really compete for an SEC East championship, some stuff to work on there. So we've gotten the fluff out of the way, the stuff that we had to discuss. It's important. It's needed. But then we're going to take a quick break, step away, pay some bills, listen to product services, in-house ads, etc., and then talk about maybe some less enjoyable things here on the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Hashtag ad
money.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back to the Go Vols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by Whatever Products, Services, and In-House Ads. You just heard a moment ago during that commercial break, Wes Rucker, Patrick Brown, and Ben McKee coming to you from the visitors radio booth at Neyland Stadium with the window still open here on a nice chilly evening in Knoxville, Tennessee. And fall is here. Fall is here. The weather's here. Tennessee is beating Florida in football. The leaves are going to turn soon. Guys, what else could you want? Life's pretty good right now. Lots and lots of good things for the Vols and lots more to discuss about that game, about this team, and a lot of other things. Before we do that, though, just a quick reminder, quick request from our end. If you could take about a minute, maybe 75 seconds, maybe 90 seconds tops out of your day right now and go in there and subscribe to this podcast, rate and review this podcast, we would really appreciate it. If you're just listening on the website, we love you. Nothing wrong with that. No wrong way to consume the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. What helps us out the most is if you go in there, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, anywhere in the world you can cast the fine pod, you can find this Go Vols 24/7 podcast. We do this for free. We're happy to do it. It's a labor of love. No complaints, maybe a few complaints, but very few complaints from our end. But since we're doing it for free, I don't think it's too much to ask to go in there, rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your friends. Tell people, you go to church in the morning, you play golf with people in the morning, you see people around town, you walk your dog, same place another Tennessee fan does. Just anybody you see in orange, even if they're not your friend, even if you don't have friends, go up to somebody wearing orange and say, you know what, I wish you were my friend because I don't have any friends, but please listen to the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. If you're already doing all those things, thank you. We love you. If not,
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Tennessee did a lot of good things in this football game, particularly offensively. Made a couple mistakes offensively, but a lot more good than bad offensively. I think we can all say that. You score 38 points in a game like this. You put up nearly 600 yards of total offense in a game like this. You've done your job. Then there's the other side of the ball. And when it needed to play at the end of the game, a couple plays in the second half, got the turnover forced, got a stop on the final couple of plays there. Not their fault that an onside kick was recovered by the other team. That's on special teams, not defense. You can't pin the whole thing on them. But guys, Florida had almost 600 yards of total offense. Anthony Richardson looked like a first-round draft pick again, even though he hadn't done that really much all year. Even against Utah, the pass was okay. It was more the run. Today, it was everything with that guy. And Tennessee's defense in space, still problematic. Tennessee getting off the field on third and fourth downs, still problematic. A lot to celebrate from this win. I guess I'll go to Ben first, but a lot of things you're going to have to clean up too if you really want to be contending for the SEC East.
Right, and offense, there is things to clean up. The Princeton Fant false start on the opening drive, if that was on him, as Patrick pointed out earlier, the fumble, which was also a good play by the defender as well. That's a fair thing to point out as well. There are things to clean up for sure on the offensive side of the ball. The defensive side of the ball, I don't know if the things that plagued Tennessee against Florida on Saturday can be cleaned up with this particular group of personnel. The front seven, I was disappointed that they weren't more disruptive. I do think that Florida offensive line is pretty solid, but I didn't see enough Tyler Barron. Byron Young stepped up towards the end of the game, but it took too long, at least watching it live and just how it felt watching it. Felt like it took a minute for Byron to get going. Amari Thomas was tremendous. I think he's made a lot of money here in the first month of the season. Bryson Easton was also getting in on the mix. DeJon Terry made some plays. But I expected the front seven, and more specifically the defensive line, to be more efficient, more consistently tonight, and that wasn't the case. So I do think you can clean that up. I think the defensive front is capable of more. But the secondary, I just don't think that you can clean up the secondary, because I think it's a personnel issue, and there's plenty of time to belabor this point. And I mean, it contributed to the game and why it came down to the wire. But Anthony Richardson could not throw the ball to save his life the past 2 weeks. And look, he's certainly capable of throwing the ball the way that he did tonight. But I think Richardson tossing the pigskin around tonight for 453 yards was more about Tennessee's lack of personnel and talent in the secondary. The safeties just kind of are what they are. I like Tamarion McDonald. I like Kamal Haddon. But other than that, you just don't have anything. Maybe the one thing you can clean up, Wes, is D. Williams getting healthy. And that's like a trade deadline addition. Yeah. Maybe he can solve some issues. But unfortunately, I think the three guys standing on the sideline tonight, Christian Conyer, Ricky Gibson, Jordan Matthews, those are the guys that are going to help clean up the issues in the secondary. You just need better players. I think it's that simple.
Yeah, I would also desperately look in the portal for a safety also in the offseason to try to get a veteran from another team, maybe another guy to come over and help, because I do think Jordan Thomas in the future is a player who I think is going to have a really nice career at Tennessee. He's just really big, strong, rangy, athletic. But in terms of what they got now, they're just not good in space. And if you want to be a good secondary, you kind of can't be bad in space. That's where you play. That's where you operate. And they're just not very good there. And we thought, Patrick, we go into the season and we think, you know what, maybe it's not that bad. They've had another year. They're older, have another year of strength and conditioning. Maybe they can turn this thing around. It's hard to say that.
It's the same argument that's been for, I mean, even before the staff got here. It's the lack of dudes. Like, they just don't have guys that are going to tear you, be tears off the edge. They don't have guys that are just going to be locked down corners. It's just not – they just don't have those guys. And so literally every play, every third down, every kind of key moment, it's like, if you're Tim Banks, what are you doing? Are you sending six? Are you rushing three or four and playing coverage? Because – Tennessee seems to be better when they go after people. We saw it against Pitt in the second half. We saw it at the end of this game when that's kind of Tennessee's default at the end of games when they're trying not to give something up late. We saw it at the end of the Pitt game. Saw it at the end of the Kentucky game last year. We saw it the last few plays after Florida recovered the onside kick. They're sending six. They're sending both linebackers, and they're saying, if we're going to go down, we're going to go down.
Like a snake in a corner.
Being aggressive.
They're
going
to come.
And it paid off because it creates one-on-ones, because usually you have five offensive linemen and a running back. And so you're saying, all right, somebody is going to win. Somebody's going to win a one-on-one at some point. They just don't have enough guys that can do that when they rush four. I thought they were maybe a little too conservative. I thought maybe they worried about Richardson just run all over him, which if you watch the Utah game was probably sensible defense. But
sure.
I thought so many.
Once it became clear you couldn't guard them outside.
And that's the other thing is they can't cover. I mean, even when they, I remember there was a 4th-and-3 that Florida went for inside their own 30, and Justin Shorter just runs right past Kamal Haddon, who's Tennessee's best corner. He had an up and down day today, but like, he's their best corner, and none of the guys that have come in and replaced Warren Burrell have already done anything. So maybe we ease off him a little bit. That's just the dilemma that this defense has. They are what they are.
He would not have made plays.
That's another discussion for another time. But
the peanut gallery in the back has spoken.
But that's just this defense has to live off turnovers and situational football. Like
they did that today,
right? They made the play on the fourth and two early on. Shout out Elijah Simmons. I give Wes's guy some hard times.
Took on three dudes. He didn't even care.
But Anthony
didn't even care.
Easton was in there too.
Like
Ben.
A big old fat honey badger. He didn't care at all.
Richardson ran right into three of his offensive linemen because those two dudes did not give an inch. Simmons got double teamed. Didn't go anywhere. Dejon Terry made some nice plays. The big play with Amari Thomas just sticking a hand in there, knocking the ball. That was a huge play because at that point it was basically a tennis match. Who's going to break serve? Because at some point, that's what was going to need to happen for anyone to get separation or Florida to go from down 10 to up, whatever. So they have to – when they get Florida first and 22, you got to get out of that sequence. And instead, they gave up a 16-yard pass playing soft zone.
Easy.
And then the other – you know, they get a penalty on a kickoff. Florida starts to drive at their four. It's third and nine, and you run a sub – that I think that was a bad coaching move because they ran their pass rushers on late. It seems like they never really got confused.
That was like the only straight handoff play that went
Florida,
well for Florida.
And Florida, Florida runs off tackle for nine. Now, Trayvon Flowers had a chance to make a play there, maybe stop him short. He doesn't. Flowers is what he is, but that to me, you can't give up off tackle and have that much space on third and nine. Those are the situations. All the fourth downs. Florida was, what, 5 of 6 on fourth down?
Yes.
Those are the moments that are going to define the Tennessee defense. They're not going to go out there and force a bunch of three and outs. They're not going to go out there. They've got to live on turnovers, and they've got to take advantage of those situations. And the problem with those situations is that they don't have guys that are just going to wreck you. They just don't have guys that can lock guys up in coverage. They don't have guys that are just going to blow up the line and make a big play off the edge. They just don't have those guys. They've got some guys who could be. You know, been talked about Byron Young. Tyler Barron didn't start today.
Josh Joseph had a really nice play off the edge.
Joseph's had a nice play. And there were some plays where, against another quarterback, it might have been a sack. But Richardson is so strong that he's able to have two guys draped over him and chuck the ball in the stands. So this defense is what it is. I feel like I've said this 100 times where this is their dilemma. This is what they have to live with. It's their bed. They're making it. They're trying to do it better. They're trying to bring in more difference makers on defense. Could they try some new guys out of the open date? We'll see. In the secondary, they kind of have who they have, and they trust who they have. So, it's not going to be an easy fix. They're just going to have to live this way, and it may cost them some games. But they also made the sort of the life of this Tennessee defense is they're probably going to give up a lot of yards, probably going to give up a lot of points, but you can point to three or four plays in the game that turn out to be big when they make those plays, and that's just what they're going to have to live by. The good news is they got an offense that can go out and get 600 yards and 40 points and play – and lead points on the field and still do those things.
Yeah, I think if you want to say something good about that defense, a lot of times it's not like they're lost. When you're talking about just pure straight up.
Yeah, Florida had a bunch of busts today.
Yeah, when you're talking about like pure straight up, do you know what your assignment is and do you know, can you stop the play right in front of you? I think Florida's running backs today, if my math is right, Florida's running backs, who have been a pretty salty group for a lot of this season, by the way, had 79 yards on 25 carries. That's what Florida's running backs did today. That they did their job there. And we talked about that one like 10 or 12 yard run on that off tackle there on third and nine. That was one of the only straight handoff plays that Florida had that went right all day long. It's tough for them. Tennessee will plug you up in the middle, and if you run right at them, they're probably going to get you on the ground. They're pretty good at that. Anything else on defense is a mystery, and it is not good because Florida's passing game. Again, Anthony Richardson, no touchdown passes in the first three games.
And not only Richardson, but they don't have any good receivers.
No, Shorter was a five-star prospect. He's supposed to be good. Pearsall's not bad.
Who cares if you're a five-star prospect if you haven't done anything for 5 years?
That's true.
You were not properly ranked, in my opinion, if that's the case. And I think Ricky Pearsall's a solid receiver. We talked about that on the
Tennessee
podcast.
Tennessee would like to have him.
Going in, yes. Now, I don't think he'd start over Jalen Hyatt, but he would definitely – play, that is for sure. But point being, it's not a Florida receiver room that has the Kadarius Tonys and all the freak receivers that we've seen at Florida over the years. And they were still making plays that they have not made to this point in the season. So, again, I just kind of think the third level of the defense is what it is. The second level of the defense, and I'm more so speaking about the inside backers, I think it just kind of is what it is in coverage as well.
I like what I saw from Juwan Mitchell a couple of times. In coverage? He was really good. He was good in physical against the run.
But I'm talking about in coverage.
Yeah, none of them are
in
good there.
In coverage, the second and the third level of the defense just is what it is. And in a sense, you're going to have to hold your breath against Jaden Daniels at LSU, Bryce Young, Stetson Bennett, Will Levis. You're just going to have to hold your breath. And why are you giving me that look, Patrick?
Will Levis
is a very talented quarterback that is capable of beating you if you let guys run free the way that Tennessee secondary does.
He's also not going to run away from people the way that Richardson does.
Yes, it's. But okay, this is a separate conversation. But Will Levis is a quarterback, a pro prospect for a reason, and we'll leave it at that and save the Levis talk for. I do think he's a bit overrated. I don't think he's number one quarterback off the board, but we'll get to the Levis conversation on down the road. But my point is that like there are plenty of quarterbacks on Tennessee's roster that, quite frankly, they're going to carve up Tennessee through the year because the second and third level of the defense just is what it is. But what Tennessee is going to have to continue to do all year, and they did it tonight early, the first two possessions. When Florida was moving the ball pretty much at will, they played bend but don't break defense. Got the stop on fourth down. Florida missed a kick. And then later in the game, they were able to force turnovers. That's what this defense is going to have to do. And Wes, I'm glad that you brought up Tennessee's ability to stop the run tonight, because as bad as the passing defense was, I was very impressed by the rushing defense. I did not think that they were going to have as much success as they did. And part of that was me being impressed with Florida's running game, their backs. And again, like I said earlier, Florida has a pretty solid offensive line. I thought they'd have more success on the ground than they did. But now that's two games, Patrick, in which Pitt has a pretty decent rushing attack. Florida has a pretty decent rushing attack, and Tennessee's bottled it up. So as frustrating as the passing defense was, I do think there's something extremely positive that you can take away from tonight, and that's the rush defense.
Yeah, and Ben, listening to you explain it that way, it makes me wonder, maybe that was the game plan. Maybe the game plan was, hey, we're not going to let Florida run all over us, play, you know, control the clock, and if Anthony Richardson throws for a bunch of yards on us, he hadn't proven he could done it. He could do it, and we did it tonight. But, I mean, coming into the game, knowing what we knew Friday afternoon, is that the craziest thing? We're not going to let Florida run it?
No, I think all of us said Anthony Richardson beat you with his arm.
And, I mean, turns out he's got a pretty good arm, you know. So I think – the Richardson that we saw tonight and the Richardson that we saw against Utah are probably the more accurate versions of him, but he's a guy that's still young in his career. He's going to be up and down. So
first road start.
But I mean, again, maybe that, you know, listen to Ben sort of talk that out, how, you know, Florida didn't have any guys, their pass game was bad. I mean, they were bottom of the SEC in pass rating and passing yards by a wide, wide margin. Why wouldn't you go into this game saying we're going to make, if they're going to beat us, if they're going to score 33 on us, they're going to have to do it throwing. And again, I'd be interested to see, you know, now Florida was going up and down the field on them all game, but I'm sure a lot of those passing yards came late too. When last 7:55, you're playing against the clock, playing down multiple scores, and you're having to throw it every drive. So, or every play. So, but yeah, I mean, this defense is what it is, but it was good enough tonight.
Yeah. The bad news is that when Tennessee plays a team that's at least pretty good, Tennessee's probably going to have to score 40 points to win. The good news is, Tennessee can score 40 points just about any week. This offense can go out there. I mean, when you take a guy like Tillman out of the equation, who is, again, one of the best receivers in college football, Tennessee's like, all right, we'll just roll Mel Keaton in there, and off we go. It's the same stuff, the same stuff. Got a running back out, got another one who's got one shoulder. Don't care. Just go out there. Still going to work. It helps when your quarterback can be Superman. That helps. That's if there's one thing you can do in college football, or really anywhere in football, if you want to offset some deficiencies in your program, your team, and you want to like pick up on some stuff in some situations, be really good at quarterback. That helps. That helps well, you. That helps you cover a lot of holes.
Well, looking long term with this defense. I mean, look at like you said, Wes. This offense is going to score. They're going to score on everybody. Who are the teams in Tennessee you're going to play? They're going to be able to legitimately keep pace with Tennessee. Let's just start at the back of the schedule. Vanderbilt, no. South Carolina, no. Spencer Rattler's been bad so far. He has no offensive line. Missouri can't score. Georgia can score. That'll be a tough game. Kentucky, I'm not sold on them. They couldn't get 300 yards on this Florida defense. I'm not sold on them, especially coming here. UT
Bama's,
Martin.
Bama's going to figure it out.
But yeah, but like, and we'll see about LSU, but like, there's a lot of teams on the schedule that you're looking at. They're like, they're not, even if Tennessee's defense is bad, like they're not gonna be able to score. I know, you know, Kentucky scored 42 on them last year, but yeah. And again, it could, you know, just Rodriguez play all that. You know, there's so many question marks with Kentucky. I don't think they're a good offense anyway, but looking down the road, it's like you have this offense. You can probably just about win every game. Now you might have to win some 55-51 or 38-33. But we kind of knew that when they hired Josh Heupel, didn't we?
I mean, Tennessee punted zero times in this football game. I mean, and you knew, if you've seen anything about everywhere Heupel's been, These are the kind of games. That
if, but that's
it's all right. It's all right. If you go out there and win, man, it's all right.
And it's
fun.
It makes other teams. I mean, Billy Napier probably didn't come into this game thinking I'm going to go for it six or seven times on fourth down. But it became pretty clear early on that
he had to.
I mean, it was the only way to keep his team in the game. And there was the one, I think, inside the 30 that they went for. It wasn't even like a fourth and one. It was like a fourth and three. I'm like, if you don't get this, you're done. But he clearly had more faith that his offense could get 3 yards than that his defense would get a stop.
That was a nuts on the table moment.
I wonder if that's going to be what we see moving forward. You know, some of these teams, man, like Alabama probably don't have to do that. Georgia, but like, I mean, is Brian Kelly going to do that at LSU in 2 weeks? I mean,
offensive-minded coach, he's going to see some stuff. He's going to see some stuff in this defense and be like licking his chops. There's no question.
And that's, you know, coaches are going to have to be more aggressive. You're going to have to, you know, I'm about to hit you guys with some hard analysis right here. Mm-hmm. It's harder to keep a team from getting a first down on four plays than it is on three. That extra play can be really large. Mm-hmm. And we saw that a lot in this game where Florida had 3rd and 9, Florida had 3rd and 7. They're going to run a sweep. Anthony Richardson, they're going to get 4 or 5 yards. Not to get, you know, they're not trying to get the first down on that play. They're trying to make it like 4th and manageable.
Don't want him to be a 3rd and long.
Right. So that, and there were even some 2nd down calls where maybe they didn't get anything on 1st down or 3rd and complete pass. And that's what, I mean, that it's going to be interesting to see if other teams sort of adopt that sort of balls to the wall, go for broke mentality, because that's going to make things harder for this defense. Because again, they're limited. If you run more plays against them, you probably have a better chance of succeeding on them.
And there's also something kind of fun about these, you know, I picked the wrong day to stop sniffing glue games. And that's what Tennessee's going to play a lot of those, because that's just with the way this team is constructed, that's just how it's going to be. There might be a game where the other offense is terrible, turns it over 3 or 4 or 5 times, and bad stuff happens, and then the quarterback gets hurt. Those kind of things happen. But generally speaking, that's how it's going to be with Tennessee. But still, guys, Tennessee defeated Florida in a football game today, and I think that is, at least for a few hours, maybe the only thing worth seriously discussing is the fact that, hey, that just happened.
Oh, 1,000%. Any Tennessee fan complaining about barely beating Florida tonight, just go for a cold swim in the Tennessee River. They've barely beaten Florida the past 20 years, and tonight is not the night to be frustrated. And look, I don't think really anybody is going to be seriously upset. But I'm sure there's one curmudgeon out there. And if you are that curmudgeon, you deserve to step in dog poop tomorrow morning, quite frankly, because it may have felt like Florida was going to win there at the end. I 1,000%. I was on the field at the time. I 1,000% thought that Florida was going to throw a touchdown on the last play of the game, and we were going to have to just toss Neyland Stadium into the Tennessee River tonight. I thought that was going to be the case. So Tennessee's 4-0. They have a win over Florida. And you never know. Who knows? Yeah, enjoy life. But I'm saying
you get 2 weeks to enjoy this one.
Absolutely. And you're putting yourself in position to play meaningful games in November. That I won't predict that Tennessee is going to go to Atlanta, but you're putting yourself in a position to legitimately play to go to Atlanta. And last thing that I've got, how about Baton Rouge? That is going to be a fun game. Who does LSU have next Saturday?
That's your reward for this.
Who LSU has Auburn. They should handle business next week, theoretically, although that Auburn-LSU rivalry can be weird at times. But
they got to beat Auburn-Jesus, too, which Auburn-Jesus is tough. It's a tough thing to beat, man.
Yes.
Those weird games Auburn plays.
They are. And look, I'm looking way ahead, just like I did after Tennessee beat Pitt. But, man, if Tennessee can go handle business against LSU, which I think it's another similar game in which, on paper, Tennessee is the better team. And if they play well, they'll win that game. And if they do, they'll be coming back to Knoxville for a top 5, top 7 undefeated matchup with the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yeah, and the only thing you got to do is go to Tiger Stadium and win. So, which teams have famously had a very easy job doing over the years. But hey, go play the game.
If you're trying to look at positives, it's probably not going to be a night game because that's a CBS doubleheader that day.
Oh yeah, and they got
we're not insider trading here because we work for CBS. Yeah, but they got don't spoil it, Wes.
They got to have the Jimbo fight.
Right, the Texas A&M Alabama is that week. It is a CBS doubleheader. That's a night doubleheader. So CBS is not going to, even if A&M, they're up 2 on Arkansas as we're recording this, they're not going to pass on that. So I got to think Tennessee LSU is going to be probably the 3:30 game. So you might get a day game down there, which I guess is better than a night game. But
Yes. Less time for the Cajuns to drink is better for you. It's always better for you.
I'll take Wes's word for it.
Are they never not drinking?
No, but later in the day they have more time to. That's the
issue. I want to go drink, so let's wrap this podcast up.
Let's go on and get out of here. Guys, thanks for joining us. We still got a lot more to go write and do, and we're going to go take care of that. But until then, thanks for listening, and enjoy this one, guys. Enjoy it.
Bye.
Bye, Wes.
There's that button. And now I can say thank you for listening to this edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Guys, thank you. Thank you for listening. We always say that, but we always mean it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Grant Ramey is Grant Ramey on Twitter. Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. And Ben McKee is Ben McKee 14 on Twitter. You can also go to twitter.com/govols247 and facebook.com/govols247 to get all of the stuff there, or most of the stuff there. We got stuff on there that we update throughout the day, all day, every day. Tons of stuff on there, all good stuff. But if you want that best, most delicious, that sparkling, delicious, crystal clear East Tennessee Smoky Mountain spring water right from the tap, go directly to govols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets to get coverage of Tennessee football, football recruiting, basketball recruiting, Tennessee baseball coverage. We cover Tennessee baseball better than anybody out there. We got that for you. We got Lady Vols coverage with award-winning Maria Cornelius, who covers all things Lady Vols for us. You also get administration news. Basically, anytime anything happens over there at the University of Tennessee, we bring it to you at govols247.com. We also have two forums that run around the clock, the Checkerboard and the Summit, where you can go and discuss anything you want that is not political or religious in nature, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we will be there to discuss it with you. Just about one of us is up just about all the time, at least. So you can go in there and do that. And you can get all of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. And that's after a free trial. And that's always. A lot of times we have better deals than that, but at least we have the 7-day free trial. And then you can start paying us. And when you start paying us, again, which is less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month, if you do that, you get access in perpetuity to Paramount Plus, which is the streaming arm of CBS, Viacom, Paramount, all of it. Get all of it right there. And it's, I mean, you got stuff, brand new movies, exclusive shows. You get stuff from the vaults of Smithsonian, Nickelodeon, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, all of it. And obviously everything CBS has ever done commercial free. That's a $100+ annual value that we'll put in your pocket for nothing. For nothing. So we're giving you several hundred dollars worth of stuff for less than $100 a year. Guys, that is an unbelievable deal. So please, this is a great time. Go take advantage of that now. If you haven't heard from us from a couple days, there's been a problem. We should be back here in a couple days or so. You'll hear from us very, very shortly. Until then, guys, be good to each other. Be decent to each other. Please. There's not nearly enough of that in our world anymore. God, we are so mean to each other. Have some basic human empathy. Allow people their dignity. Try to be kind. Be good to each other. Until then, be good, guys. See you.
Where's Wes at? He already put my comments out there, so he had direct quotes.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.